John and Milton, thank you so much. That's our leadership, y'all. That's our leadership. Okay, yes, please have a seat. Well, here with me on the stage, we have Mrs. Alicia Horton, and she and her wife, her husband, D.A., we will be getting to hear from. And your journey is just incredible, and I want to learn more about it, and our family here will get to hear more about what the Lord is doing in your life and how they can connect with that. And so we're just going to take a few minutes as a family to get to know her a little bit better. And I have learned recently that you and your husband just moved to L.A. to, our L.A. people, hello, to do a church plant there. So can you tell us just a little bit about yourself and your family?
Absolutely. So just this past June, my husband and I celebrated 13 years of being married together. Amen. And we actually grew up together. So the beauty of it and the irony of it is the fact that we were evangelizing together in the urban cities in our context, but we were not even saved. Our parents bribed us, said, hey, come and be a part of this on a Saturday morning. I think his mom, my husband's mama said, hey, I'll get you some croissant sandwich from Burger King. He was like, bet, I'll go. And then my parents drug me out, and we met at the ages of 8 and 10 doing ministry together. But the irony is we were preaching the gospel, but we ourselves were not saved. But praise God. In that time span, we got to know the Lord and gave our lives to the Lord at an early young age. So.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. So Burger King, that was what brought you together originally. Okay.
Yes, that's it right there.
So on more of a serious note, your personal journey in your life and in your relationship with the Lord, there's been a lot that you've learned through the journey of personal suffering. And so we want to speak to our family here and to our online audience a little bit about how God has used suffering in your own life to shape you and how he has been there in that process to mold you. Can you tell us about that?
Amen. So to me, it seems like God, in order to really touch on these subjects in my life, God's had to make them real to me first. And so when it comes to personal suffering, 2 or 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And you talk about a gut punch and it just taking the wind out of me and everything that I thought I knew as being healthy and, you know, just living a regular life came to a halt for a moment in that time. But God was still faithful. He was still there. He was still present. And in that moment, though, God was teaching me that this was his way of showing me that I'm going to now be able to minister to people that I would never have been, you know, able to minister to before. And I had to look at it like, yo, like, God, how are you going to do that in my life? I'm literally just devastated by this. But God was just showing me his love and his mercy in my life was so rich that I was like, you know what? If this is what I need to do to be able to speak out and be able to be sensitive about suffering and not just physical suffering, but just all sufferings. And that seriously, like speaking even to now today and fast forward into all the things that are going on now, you know, suffering is not just physical. We have brothers and sisters out there that are extremely hurt and they're hurting. And so I think I'm a little bit more sensitive to it now because I've gone through a period of suffering. But God, man, he's matured me through that and he's chiseling things in me and in my life to show me that I'm stronger than I am before going into that fire and coming out. God has made me have a deeper relationship and a deeper passion and a deeper dependency on him because of my physical suffering. And so,
amen. Yeah, absolutely. Amen. You can clap. It's okay. And so you found out that his grace really is sufficient for you. And
in
your
weakness,
exactly,
absolutely,
he's made strong. And so you kind of alluded to the fact that that's changed the way that you interact with other people as they are journeying through suffering. And you said yours was physical, but that didn't mean that that was the only lesson you were learning. And so can you tell us a little bit about how your own journey really influenced the way that you now have journeyed with other people in their suffering? What has that looked like for you?
Yeah, I mean, just like I said, suffering is multifaceted, and it's not just limited to physical suffering. So yes, I'm able to minister to people. I wrote a blog about it and just never knew the how God would really use that to touch other people. And so that kind of opened the door for me to then be able to open up about the things that I had endured in the past as well. But bring it back into present tense, just with the current suffering that's going on today, I mean, I've had brothers and sisters reach out to my husband and I just asking, you know, what can we do, you know? And as a church, you know, just we should be the ones leading these conversations, what it looks like to stand in unity together. And so, I mean, it's honestly, it sounds so simplistic, but it is just having the conversation, sitting down and just sharing a meal together with somebody that wouldn't necessarily be in your inner circle, okay? And just being able to invite them over and hear their narrative, hear their background, hear their story. So we've been able to do that. And even just now, fast forwarding to today, I have a sister who's working in Pasadena, and she's doing physical therapy and internship there, and she's conflicted. She's African-American, and she's Italian, and she's just like, nobody in this context is talking about anything that's going on. She was like, I'm just so bothered and burdened. Like, how can I start? You know, so just, you know, praying with her and working through these issues and helping her. First of all, we have to have a heart of compassion. Mainly, in addition to that, we have to ask God to remove those blindfolds from our eyes so that we can see clearly what's going on around us. What are we ignoring? What do we have been aloof to, the things that are going on? And so just, again, asking God to give us a heart of compassion, asking God to help us to see the blind spots that we've been overlooking as a church so that we can be bringing good, healthy leadership in these situations so that God can continue to push his agenda. As the world keeps trying to fire back at us, we stay strong and knowing that this is what the Lord is asking us to do during this season that we're in right now.
Amen. So it's the hope of the gospel that you see in these relationships.
In all relationships. It pertains to everything. And that's what I'm trying to help people to understand, is that the gospel does transform every aspect of our life. Mm-hmm. And so many times when we were working through discipleship and mentoring other people, so many times it's good. Like growing up in the inner city, you know, we didn't go to a church that was solid. So we were used to the emotionalism of everything. But God was just like, okay, well, you know, shape up, go to a seminary, go to school, Bible college, so that you can then take that and relay it to a people group that would not necessarily step foot in a Bible college. So both my husband were convicted to do that. Wow. And so we see that as importance, but now it's like, okay, let's not be so theologically sound that we forget that, you know, we need the Holy Spirit's work. Amen. To help change the inner parts of our every being. And so I see God using that, and he's coupling those two to say, okay, you know, we can't have one without the other. So being able to disciple girls in that, especially specifically young ladies, and seeing them, because I don't want them just to be full of information.
Right.
You know, and I don't want to see behavior modification. Hmm. It's about saying, you know what, how does the gospel apply to every part of your life so that you can then go out and be a voice and a mouthpiece to the hurting and the dying and that's out there that need the hope of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. So, lasting hope.
The lasting hope.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, like you said, when you mentioned your friend, you said her own personal story puts her in a spot where she can't ignore what's going on around her. But she runs into people where sometimes they don't notice. They either choose not to say something or they just don't know what to do. Right. And so just as, you know, we look around the room, the folks here are in the city and they want to be involved and journeying along well with other people. And so if you were to just give one first step for somebody who wants to really enter into the journey of suffering with somebody else, what advice would you give?
I can't quote it directly, but I'm trying to think. There's a book that I love reading. I always refer to as a great resource. It's called The Resolution for Women. It's like the women's version of The Courageous for Men. Huh. Dope writer, Priscilla Shire. Look her up if you don't have never heard of her. Tony Evans, name dropper. That's his daughter, and she's killing the game. But
she was in War Room.
Yes, and she had a great quote. And let me try to find it real quick. But when I looked at that, it is like this can pertain to everything that we think, like, God, help me to have that desire, help me to have that heart. So I would encourage you, leaders, this is what I found. She said, until what takes your breath away is not the gravity of the problem, but the power of God to heal it, one touch, one person at a time. And I'm just like, wow. So it's not the we see all these things and the social ills and the injustices that's going on. It's like, okay, that is weighty. That's going to affect us. That's going to break our heart. But when we see the necessity, the contrast of that is that the big God we serve has the power, the mighty power to bring healing in that. Mm-hmm. And what does he want to do in our lives to be that active feet and hands to the people out there? So I look at that and just be encouraged, y'all. Like, I'm so encouraged. We were at the Legacy a couple weeks ago, and it was just awesome to see millennials and just younger people just hungry and thirsty for God. But it's also encouraging to come here and see seasoned saints that have been in the trenches,
right?
That have been walking and been enduring. So keep running your race.
Amen.
Keep fighting. You're not alone. You got lots of prayer warriors praying for you to keep running your race fervently. So.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Absolutely.
And you'll be here throughout the conference so people can get to know you more.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you so much. Go ahead.